So video two. So what I said in the last video was, you know, if you can get into a state of communication with anybody on a job, in a marriage, in a church, in a business, any kind of venture, and you can sit down face to face at a table, I don't care if you sit on the floor, I don't care what, if you just sit there and talk, and let's say somebody, either, let's say both, usually we don't even know we're doing it, we catch ourselves, we might not catch ourselves, but somebody watching us might say, well, that looks like a contradiction. They might say something that looks like a contradiction to you, but if you dig deeper, at a deeper level, you understand what they're saying. And so if they're willing to stand there and talk to you and solve it, maybe they misspoke. Say, scratch that. Let's scratch that, back up. Okay, I was wrong. If they, instead of them running out the back door scared to death and running away, and they're willing to communicate, we've all said things we didn't mean. We all spoke wrong. We all had intentions that might have looked like it was like an enemy or something. And the reason is because most people can't be introspective, can't admit wrong, they can't even say thank you. If somebody can never say thank you, run, because that's pride, that's entitlement. Run. If you're around somebody that never says thank you, put up the boundaries, like 10 layers of boundaries, and run. Run for the hills. So if you can communicate with people, if they want to communicate, not everybody does. And if they don't, let them go. Let them do whatever. But there has to be communication. If the preacher's preaching and he's preaching on Hebrews chapter 6, there's going to be some questions. And he needs to be able to answer those questions. I would say if somebody's preaching on Hebrews 6 and somebody's in the congregation, and he could say, well, the sermon's over. If somebody wants to stay and ask questions, I'm here. I'll be here for another hour. We can have a group conversation and I'll answer the questions. Because that's a hard chapter. Eternal security is hard to understand until you get it. But the communication in a church, in a marriage, in a home, in a family, in anything, if there's no communication, if people are afraid to hear the other person's perspective, and they're always jumping to conclusions and they're not listening to the other person, then, you know, it's a one-way conversation. You know, the other person's not needed. If it's a one-way conversation, we don't need the other person. It's a waste of time to do that. You're wasting your time. Now, not everybody's there yet, so it might be that they need to grow and they need to be cut and turned. Because there's a lot of people, I saw that in my earlier years, you'd be working with people, and every time you said something, they interrupted you, every time. But first, and the only reason you're able to see it, because you did it. You caught yourself, somebody's talking, right? I remember.
There's a stalled vehicle ahead.
I remember when I was younger, before, I think it was, I don't know if I was saved or not, but I remember younger, somebody would want to say something. Somebody talk about something. Well, to do the electrical outlet, you need this. You want to jump in and say, well, this is how you do it. Now, I don't even need to say nothing. I just listen. And I might know more than them. I might even do that for a career. Let's say I'm talking to somebody, and they say, I'll do rideshare, and this is the way to do it, blah, blah, blah. I'm actually an expert. I'm like a master of rideshare because I've done it for 10 years. And I wouldn't even tell them I'm a driver. I would say, oh, okay. Even if they're wrong, I'm not going to argue with them or try to be in a pride war. You can't be in a pride war with anybody. You're not there for pride. You're there to have compassion, understanding, get them to see your perspective. You can see their perspective. and you can find common ground. So common and communion are the same word. Company, common, communion. In order to have company, there has to be the C-O-M. The three letters, C-O-M, mean together. So you're going to see that with company, common, communion. Anytime you see C-O-M, it means together something. So in order to have some company with somebody, you got to have common ground. You have to have communion. To have company...
Welcome to North Carolina.
To have company with somebody, there has to be common ground, communion. C-O-M. Always goes back to together. To be together with a person, there has to be a two-way conversation. Because if it's just one way, the other person is not even needed. They become a slave to the other person. They become under the Jezebel spirit, and their opinion doesn't matter. You know, if you have if you had an issue with authority, and authority's treating you bad, you just say, "Sir, yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir." Sir. You never talk like an equal. But if authority knows that you know your stuff, you know your stuff, and authority says something, say, "Look, I've been doing this a long time. We need to do this different." And if authority says, "I don't hear it," bad leader. If the leader says, "Yeah, that's a good idea, let's do it," hallelujah. If they say, "Yeah, that's a good idea, I see where you're coming from, but we're still going to do it this way, but keep that up because I need that communication to keep me in check." If a person doesn't realize that they need somebody else to hold them in check, they're going to get bent out of shape and go down a rabbit hole of no return, because nobody can live down here without authority. And if a person hates authority, whether it's the parent's authority, the husband's authority, the boss authority, the government authority.
There's a stalled vehicle ahead.
We know government's not perfect. We know the husband's not perfect. We know the parents are not perfect. But God uses that authority. We know the boss is not perfect. When God uses that authority, God can turn the king's heart. God works through authority. You think that authority figure is making those decisions apart from God leading them? If you submit to authority, God will protect you. And he will even put a thought in authority figure for your benefit, even if it's a mean authority. He will do things in a situation that you will be like just mind blown. It'll boggle the mind that you can actually submit to an evil authority and God still protects you in that situation, because he controls the thoughts of all mankind. Your thoughts are really not your own. It's all happened before. I had this conversation last night. Everybody's special, but it's all a fractal. And we're all moving to the same source code. And we're all on the same path, but some are further along in the path than others. So those people speeding down the highway, they're just starting on the path. I had no idea that south of Charlotte had a mountain. I'm looking at a mountain in North Carolina below Charlotte. I know about the mountains in past Winston, but I'm in shock. I didn't know this. On the highway, Jesus is the answer to all your problems. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. We all have to flesh. We're all trying to survive. We're all trying to make it. We're all trying to have that union, that communion, that fellowship, that oneness, that we want somebody to be on our team and be for us, unconditional love, and have our back and all that stuff. We all want that. But we've been hurt so bad, it's hard to believe it. Even if it shows up, it's still hard to believe it. Even if it's right in your face sometimes, it's still hard to believe because of all the trauma that everybody's been through. You could be looking at the person that's got your back. But somewhere in that mind, oh, it's King's Mountain. So somewhere in your mind, you've got that previous experience, could be childhood, it could be some other relationship or whatever. And you think, oh, well, they threw me under the bus and I was almost homeless and I lost my job and they tried to put me in jail for no reason and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, wow, how do you trust after that? How do you survive that? How do you get back to normal? How do you get healthy again? And so I saw in that industry where people came through for different reasons. And they were like, during the pandemic, like everybody was like in a shock. It was like a trauma. The kids that are born now, they're gonna be more healthy than the kids that were born 6 or 7 years ago. Kings Mountain. We create these systems because we're trying to avoid the shock. We're trying to make it work smoothly in a world that is a snake sine wave system. That up and down sine wave, that snake, is always causing drama, chaos, money, news, media. The more you cut the news off, the happier you're going to be. You're going to be happy. This is not preaching. This is just sharing information that I've learned along the way. I'm not being self-righteous at all. I'm not trying to be better than anybody ever. Because I'm not. We all have, if we're still here on this earth, okay, if you're still here on this earth, there's things you need to work on. Now, can you fix them yourself? Probably not. What needs to happen? You have to have a face-to-face interaction, somebody holding you accountable, somebody saying your way is not always the right way, or tamp it down, you know, calm it down and just regroup. Everything's fine. Everything's now. Everything's under, God has got it all under control. Everything's cool. If you believe Romans 8:28, then you have nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. You just do your duties, do your responsibilities, submit to your authority, and your authority will protect you from making a bad decision. Because your authority, if it's a good authority, they actually love you. If it's employees, they really care about the employees. If it's a spouse, they love you. If it's a husband who's really saved, he loves the wife. If it's a parent who's saved, they love the kids. They want their best. Now, if you got a bad one, like a narcissist, whatever, they don't care about you. They'll throw you under the bus in 2 seconds. They wouldn't sacrifice for anybody. Not even themselves. That's why they want other people to sacrifice. But my point is, without that communication, how can you be in union? When Jesus said, throw the net on the other side. Both sides of the boat. There has to be two ways of looking at something. You can't just look at something in one perspective. And to be honest with you, if you're a human, you have a holographic mind. You can actually look at a situation from 10 different perspectives. But if you're just looking at it from one perspective, you're not going to have the full view. And so when you communicate with one or two people or three people or five people, if you communicate with five people, you're going to get a perspective that is full, more full than just your perspective. There has to be two people communicate. And it has to be two people can sit down and say, look, hey, what you just said is contradiction. Help me understand it. Well, what you just said is contradiction. Okay. Help me understand it. Okay. This is where I'm coming from. Oh, the more you talk about it, it might take 10 minutes. It might take 30 minutes. It might take 2 days. It might take a time out. But you go deep. The reason I'm doing this, the reason I think this way is because this. Well, have you ever thought about it this way? No, I haven't. Appreciate you telling me that. So, oh, okay. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've been living in fear. I've been worrying. I've been living as a I've been living like a scaredy cat in the middle of an ocean of narcissism. And then when somebody comes around who's not a narcissist, who really does care, authority figure usually, that really does care about you, there's different perspectives. There's always a different perspective that's going to give you more information so that you can see the whole pie. If you have a pizza and somebody gives you a slice, but you don't see the whole pizza, and then you eat another slice, get another slice. The more slices of pizza that you have, you can put all the puzzle pieces together and see the whole pizza. But if you only have one slice of pizza, you can't see the whole. You can't see the whole pie. You can only see one perspective. So don't discount anybody unless they're just so far out that they don't make a lick of sense, you know. And then all you can do is pray for them and still, as long as they're not trying to hurt you, still try to, there's a verse about the wing, under the wings, God hides you. Bring them under your wing until they mature and get grounded and get healthy and see the whole. Most people will never see the whole because everybody thinks their perspective is the only perspective. But there's many ways to look at a problem. Yeah, the Bible's the absolute truth, and one verse will say it, but you still have to rightly divide the word to understand it. Because I'll give you an example. He says, be not drunk with wine. But then Paul tells Timothy to drink some wine for his stomach's sake. He says, but be filled with the Spirit. But Jesus made wine at the marriage. Jesus turned water into wine. So how is all that even? That looks like a contradiction. But if you dig down deeper, it's not. Wine is not necessarily a sin. What is? Drunkenness. And so back in the day, Timothy probably had corrupt water, so he drank the wine to get rid of any kind of worms or bacteria, and he drank the wine to kill the worms or something, or bad water. Drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. That's Apostle Paul said that. But he's the same one that said, be not drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. How can he say two contradictory things? It's not about drinking wine. That's not the problem. That's not the sin. It's the heart. It's always the heart. If you love somebody, it's all about your heart. Do you really love them? Do you want their best? Do you want them healthy, wealthy, wise? Do you want them healthy, body, soul, spirit, joints, and marrow, and discerner, thinking about their future? You want them to think about their future. You want them to you want a person, and you want yourself to make sure that their future person, their future self, will be proud of them today. They made healthy choices. They walked around the block. They walked at the park. They rode a bicycle. They cut back sugar. I promise you, I don't care who it is, they will tell you too much sugar is bad for you. And I'm not going to stop saying this till the day I die, because they lie. They put sugar in everything for a reason, to make you weak. When you cut back sugar, you feel strong. The long game is not just for yourself. The long game is for other people that you care about, and you want them to be in the long game. Let's say somebody does have an addiction, okay? If they have an addiction, it's an identity problem. And I know it's the fact, because it's ADDI. If you turn the DI around to ID, the addiction goes away. It's an identity problem. We all fall short. We all mess up. We all sin. We all need to make it right. If we can. So, if you're still down here, there's a push and pull all the time. There's always a push and pull. there's always that push and pull. I got about 60 more minutes till I get back to the crib. And so, the first video, I was stepping into the, showing how the scarcity law and the scorched earth and all that is to create trauma. And so everybody's under trauma. And you, if you really pay attention, if you're really around a bunch of people, you start to see patterns. Most people are traumatized, and you start to, you're, if you're in a stable situation, you start to have compassion on these people, you know? It's like, wow, I'm sorry you're going through that. And you're sincere. It's not just, it got to a point where it was so many people hurting. You're like, oh man, I'm sorry. Man, I'm sorry you're going through that. I'm sorry. Woman, I'm sorry you're going through that. That's terrible. You lost your job and your house and everything, and you're having to live in this situation till you get back on your feet. It's like, it was very painful to watch because there were so many people hurt. So you learn to have compassion because it could happen to you. It could happen to anybody. I could get a flat tire on the highway right now. And it would be nice if somebody had compassion, pull over, help me. But I could do it. But I could change, put the spare on. But, and most of the time, nobody's going to help you because they're afraid you might get, it might be a scam and I might shoot them. You know, they might think, oh, it's a scam. They're going to try to shoot me and steal from me. That's how bad the TV and the news and all is. It's like, who can you trust? And so you should have compassion on yourself because you've been through trauma and don't even know it. It don't matter who it is. This 3D experience, there has been trauma somewhere. Fall, break a leg, fall, twist an ankle. There's always a problem that causes trauma somewhere along the way. To me, noise is a trauma. You get to a point where any kind of noise is trauma. Whether it's a radio or a TV or even YouTube now, even noise has become, you get to a point in life where any kind of noise can be trauma, traumatic, you know? Trauma with a capital T. I'm looking over here to my right. This guy's got his trailer behind his little truck. He's got this furniture on there. He's got it strapped down, but it don't look like it's that much of a strap. So if that fell off on the highway, somebody'd run into that, and that'd be trauma, right? Trauma. Traumatic. What you can do is use the cycles of time to see these repeat patterns, these cycles, these waves, these repeat waves. You already know what's going to happen before it happens. So you can use that for your benefit because you can actually foresee some kind of trauma before it happens. You can foresee some trauma before it happens. And be prepared. Even if you know it's going to happen, you can have the tape or the Band-Aid or the sewing kit or the stitches ready, the glue, the duct tape. You can have you know the trauma's there and you know it's going to happen. You just have to have it ready. You got to be ready. best you can, but you can't be ready for everything. But for the most part, you can be ready for most things, because every moment you've already seen before, because if it was anything new, you couldn't function. Let me say that again. This is the key I want to tell you. This is a guru observation that you need to understand to really see what you're in. And if you understand it, it will bring equilibrium and peace to your life. You have to take it deeper levels. Whether it's putting on your shoe, whether it's opening the refrigerator door and grabbing something, you wouldn't know how to do it if it hasn't already been done before. So you go through simulations every day and don't even know it, to teach you how to handle a certain situation. Like I say, in that job situation, I went through so many people going through trauma and raising their voice and screaming, you know, that it forced you to be like in a controlled response, awareness, self-aware, controlled response, 24/7. And so when they came up, started yelling or something, screaming, you say, can you, let me back up just a second. So can you say it in a calm manner? What are you trying to say? Or you might say, I've actually seen somebody yell at somebody, and I walk around the corner, I say, y'all want some bananas or food? So when you offer food in a hostile environment, they calm down instantly, because if somebody's offering you food, when you eat, you're in a peaceful state. So you bring it into, you bring them back to, they lose their mind for temporary. So you say, hey, y'all want some food? While y'all arguing, y'all can eat. They calm down. They calm down instantly. What is that about? You're redirecting their thoughts. They're so focused on their what happened to them. I feel like I've been wronged. Let's take a time out. Here, have a banana. Have an apple. And chew on that apple for a second. Let's talk about it. It's not the end of the world. And so back to what I was saying. If you understand that everything in front of you has already happened before, otherwise you couldn't function, that means that everything that you do has already been a deja vu in the previous. Because if it wasn't, you couldn't function. When you stepped on the ground, your foot would go through the floor because the floor would be changing. Or you would put your shoe on, it'd fall off because the laces wouldn't be tied right. My point is, if you realize that everything is the now, everything's a deja vu, everything's already been, it's all repeating, then it takes you to the next level. You kind of rise up out of the 3D and you see that everything is okay. It was already pre-written, pre-planned. It's all deja vu, and it always goes back to the cross. It always goes back to God already planned this and did this for you. It's already been. And so if it's already been, that means he knows where you're at. He's got his eyes on you. He's going to take care of you, no matter how painful it seems. Just because you can't see the solution don't mean the solution ain't there. The solution was there before the problem appeared. Otherwise, this place wouldn't even exist. If everything didn't have a solution, this place would already be blown up. If you look at the nations, they have a way with dealing with other nations. When things start to ramp up before it goes into war, they have this thing called game theory, and they play tit for tat. And the other side says, well, it ain't even worth it to do this because we're going to lose more than we win. So let's just ramp it down. And that's the way it should be in a job, in a marriage, in any relationship. You ramp it down. you ramp it down before it gets too high. Before it gets out of control, you ramp it down. You bring it back down. I did this like 10 times one time. Some tools were missing. Went and talked to the authority. I said, somebody stole my tools. And they looked at me like I lost my mind. Well, nobody around here is stealing anything. An hour later, I found my tool. I did that like 10 times. And I realized I misplaced the tool. I really thought somebody stole my tools. But it was me that misplaced the tools. And I had to humble myself and admit I made a mistake. I accused an unknown person for stealing my tools, and I don't even know who it would have been. It was me. I was wrong. I had to admit that I was forgetting that I left my tools somewhere. I had to admit I was wrong. That's a good thing. That's really a good thing, because you get healed. If you can admit you were wrong, you heal. You get healed. You get pushed to the next level, and you say, oh, I'm human just like you. I make mistakes too. Praise God for Jesus. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. What's my point? What is my point? The world needs love and compassion and patience and understanding. If somebody messes up, now you put the boundaries up. But if they keep doing it, then you put a few more boundaries and you separate. You don't get your identity out of that person. You get your identity out of God, out of Christ. And you don't let this place mess with you. It's all temporary anyway. It's a vapor. Your life is a vapor. Why bother about something that's a vapor? It's not even real. If the Bible says your life is a vapor just disappears off in the sky. It's not real. It's a training program for your inner person. You're being changed in the inner man. The outside never changes. What changes? The inner man. The outside is still the same. When your grandparents, they died, it was the same kind of stuff going on every day. When you die, your grandchildren are going to be the same red versus blue politics and the same football and basketball and all that stupid stuff. It just keeps repeating. And if the inner person is not being changed, what good is it? You gain the whole world and lose your own soul. You gain the whole world and lose your own soul if you haven't been introspective. Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Lord, I messed up. Lord, I wasn't kind. I wasn't compassionate. I didn't love my neighbor as myself. I didn't love my enemy. I didn't love the brethren. I jumped to conclusions. I accused somebody of stealing something that I lost. You know that's humble pie, right? That's some Galatians 6:1. Look it up. Memorize it. Galatians 6:1. Memorize it. John 3:16. Memorize it. Exodus 14:14. Memorize it. If you don't memorize it, if you don't start memorizing stuff, you're going to be a basket case up and down. You got to memorize some scripture in context. Ask AI what are the top scriptures you need to memorize, and memorize them, and watch how your life will stabilize if you practice it every day in every situation. Because believe me, there's going to be new situations. I passed four trucks, transfer trucks with Publix. So Publix, evidently, on this trip from Georgia to North Carolina, I passed four trucks with the name Publix. Evidently, that company knows what they're doing. They got it going on. The leadership in that company has got it going on. I don't know if they're on the stock market. That'd be one to invest in from my perspective. I went in their store yesterday or even today. I went in their store and it was so clean and organized. They're not playing games. They are not playing games. So if you go somewhere and you got a good, and it's a good company, and they tell you, just say, sir, yes, sir. Sir, aye, sir, because they're gonna save your life. They're gonna save your life. I worked with a guy, he was a saved man. I worked with him one time, he said, authority will save your life. I knew that, but he didn't know I knew it. I said, amen. Makes total sense. I already knew it, because he didn't know I was well-versed in 40,000 preacher teachings. Authority will save your life. A lot of people want to run the streets, run here, do that, but they never want to submit to authority, and they end up in a situation that's out of control. They end up in a situation that's out of control because they didn't want to submit to authority. When you really start to have compassion, it doesn't matter who it is. It could be your worst enemy, or it could even be a Jezebel. I got to the point where a Jezebel spirit comes up with me. I actually have compassion on them. I don't argue or fight with them. I just have compassion on them. I say, I appreciate your perspective. Let me know if I can help you get to the next level, you know. I'm not going to fight with them. There's no reason to fight. I was in the drive-thru last week. I really was. I was in the drive-thru last week, and the guy looked at me. He said he was talking to his coworker or his employee. He looked at her and he said, listen, let me ask him, is there any reason to fight? I said, no, fighting ain't going to do you no good. He turned to her and said, see, there's no reason to fight. Unless you're fighting for your life or war, you know, or fighting for your freedom. All right, I got to focus on this traffic now. But the conclusion of the matter, in my mind, communion, compassion, different perspectives. One perspective is not the totality of everything. You got to have multitude of perspectives. You got to see the whole picture. And one perspective doesn't see the whole. One piece of the pizza, if you hold one piece of the pizza in your hand, that's not the whole pie. But if you have all the pieces of the pizza and you put them down on a piece of paper, you get to see the whole pie, right? You get to see the whole pie. Why would you think your piece of the pie is the everything? Because that means you're God. Why would you think that God would? Why do you think God would put different perspectives down here for to help you? Why would he need different perspectives if you had the whole truth? Your piece of the pie is just a piece of the pie. Why do you think your piece of the pie is the whole truth? It doesn't. It's impossible. You're a human. You fall short. You sin. Your flesh is nothing but sin. Your body's nothing. Your flesh being, creature, body's going back to the grave, dust to dust, ash. The flesh is nothing but sin. You're going to the grave. You're going to the grave. you will be judged for things done in the body. That means there's stuff in the body that you're going to do that God is going to judge you for. There's things that you do in the body that you're going to be judged for, but in the spirit, you're perfect. So everybody's going to be judged, plain and simple. You will be judged. Everybody's going to be judged. If you're going to be judged, that means you're going to make mistakes. You're going to do wrong. If you don't think you're going to do wrong, then you might as well be God. When Jesus, he ate with the sinners. He sat down and ate with the sinners. The publicans said, "Why are you eating with the sinners?" And they were the tax collectors that were putting people under burdens that they couldn't bear. They were the legalists that wanted to force you to try to be something you're not in the energy of the flesh. If it's not a heart change, it ain't gonna stick. It ain't gonna stick. This is not I'm not doing religious messages. I'm just talking straight. I know my own life, and if I know my own life, and I've talked to enough people to know their lives, there's nothing new out there that people are dealing with. If you think you're dealing with something new, you're deceiving yourself. There's no new problem. There's no new situation. If it was, we'd have to keep creating a new Bible. But every problem you face is in that Bible, and you would have to, if yours was newer than somebody else, you'd have to create another Bible. Your problem is no different than the other people had the same problem. Your decision's no different than other people. Other people have that same problem. Your decision, just like I told a coworker last week, I told her, I said, you know, we have had the opportunity to see so many different people come in here and talk to so many different people. We have an advantage over the average person that's been in a cubbyhole all their life and they only see that cubbyhole. We see all kinds of people. We see 100 people change over in a day sometimes. And we're seeing all these different people in different perspectives, the way they live different lives. And we see patterns that the average person can't see because they're stuck in a little cube somewhere and they don't see a lot of different people. But then when you do see all these different people in whatever capacity, you start to you already know what they're going to say. You know how they're thinking. You know their train of thought. You know their weakness. You know their addiction. You know their pattern. You already know. Because it's already, you've dealt with so many people. You've seen it, and it's just the same problem, and that problem has a solution. The difference is some people solve the problem, and some people stay in the problem longer. And if you stay in it too long, you're going to get so sick and tired of being sick and tired that you're finally going to rise up out of the problem and step into what's right and do what's right. They'll say it's bad relationships. You finally say, I've had enough of bad relationships. I'm going to make this one work, hell or high water. I'm going to make the right decisions, be kind, trust God, treat the other person with respect and love and dignity and all that, instead of trying to get your little twisted need met. You're going to treat people with respect. It's a process. Not everybody's there. And not everybody will get there. Not everybody really cares to get there. And you might be a person that you didn't want to get there, but God forced you to get there. He put you in a situation where you had to take up your cross, you had to deny yourself, and you had to learn to have compassion. Otherwise, you'd be dead. You might have to rent to homeless people so that you're not homeless. You might have to drive rideshares so that you have a car. The very things you serve protect you. The thing that I fear most came upon me. So when you face off with your fear, guess what? You're beating the devil. You're beating the program. The thing that I feared most came upon me. So you're actually beating the program by facing off with that fear. Seriously, it's not as bad as you thought. It's like a monster. When you face off with something that you never faced off with, or it just keeps repeating that you haven't broke the cycle, you can't blame the other people for you broke the cycle. You can't blame other people. I mean, you keep repeating the cycle, you can't blame other people. Like a long time ago, a sister in Christ said about 10 years ago, it's round the mountain, round the mountain, round the mountain, round the mountain, round the mountain. If you keep doing the same cycle, you can't blame other people, it's you. And so when you face off with that monster and you say, okay, it's not other people, it's me, oh Lord, it's me standing in need of prayer. Why do I keep making these same mistakes? Why do I keep destroying this or this or this or changing jobs? Because it's something in you that needs to change. Not the job, not the boss, not the coworkers. You can learn and you can use AI to come up. Let's say people come up with these weird comments to project some on you. Just Google AI and say, look, this person says stuff to me that provokes me. Give me about 10 responses, generic responses that I can say on the fly so that they don't put me under some kind of weird vibe or something. And memorize two or three of them. And when they come in and say it, because they're going to say it again because they're in a pattern, have it all memorized and say, blah, 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 AI told you how to respond. And they'll just walk away because you've already seen the game. They know you see the game now. They know they can't provoke you. They know they can't upset you. And they were actually sent there, probably by the devil, but God allowed it to push you to the next level. We're all sinners. We all fall short. We're all trying to get to that state of bliss down here, or at least semi-bliss or something. And everybody's trying to get there. Everybody's trying to get some communion going on. And if it's communion, it's a two-way street. If it's just one person talking, or if one person's always right, you don't need the other person. If I think I'm right and I say something and somebody makes a comment and says, wait a minute, Books, you said something that contradicted, that's wrong, and I'll read it and I go to think about what they said, oh yeah, you're right, I did say that, I was wrong. If I can't admit that, go somewhere else, because you don't need to listen to me, because I'm a prideful person that don't think I could be corrected by. You can be corrected by children. A child can correct you, much less another adult. You're all on the same path. Some are a little bit further, but everybody's on the same path, and everybody needs authority, and everybody needs companion and communication and communion and correction and held accountable. That's what that guy said I worked with. He said accountability will save your life. He said authority, but he said accountability will save your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's right. Accountability will save your life. If you're a lone ranger, quit being a lone ranger, because you're not going to grow. You're not going to grow. And if you can only be a lone ranger with certain kind of people, go find some other people. Get strong. Use AI to respond to these narcissistic, psychopathic comments that you're out to provoke you. Use AI. Say, how is this not healthy? AI will tell you how to have a healthy conversation. But you have to train your mind and be ready. You don't have to even speak a lot of times. You don't even have to respond. You just look at them. They come in your office and say something. And you say, they say something stupid. You don't have to respond. You can say, is there anything else besides that? You got anything else? No, that's it. Okay. All right, catch you later. You don't even have to be mad. You don't have to be mad. They come in and say, your desk looks like a pile of shite. Good point. I need to clean it up. I appreciate you. Anything else you see in here that I need to clean up? No, that's it. Just clean that desk up, slacker. Okay. Appreciate it. Thanks for the compliment. I mean, thanks for the heads up. You don't have to be mad. If you say, well, you're a slacker too. Well, that's stupid. Why are you gonna do that? You're going down to their level. Why are you gonna go down to their level? They want you to be a copy of them. The narcissistic psychopath is going to try to belittle you. Why would you go down to their level? Why? You're becoming them. The devil wants to make a copy of himself. Why would you want to go down to the narcissistic level and they come in and say, your desk looks like a rat's nest. Get it cleaned up. Slacker. And you say, if it's authority, you say, sir, yes, sir. If it's a coworker, that's an equal, say, please look around anything else because I was just too close to the chalkboard to see it. Thank you for the help. You want to help me clean it up or you too busy? You don't have to get mad. Say, please look around if there's anything else I need to work because I was too close to the chalkboard to see it. I was so busy. Thank you. I know that an orderly desk will make my life easier. Thank you. Appreciate the heads up. It's not a compliment. Tell the truth. Appreciate the heads up. Come on now. This should help somebody. This should break you free from the fighting and the warfare and trying to fix somebody else. They're not going to change unless God changes them, but you can change. And when they come in and say, clean that desk up, it's like looks like somebody took a dump on your desk. Clean it up. You say, thank you. I needed somebody to motivate me. Appreciate it. Anything else you see, I'll come back next week and check it out again. Make sure I'm held accountable. Don't get mad. Maybe that's their only way of telling people to do something. Maybe they have some kind of insecurity about being nice. And so you don't have to fight with them. And actually what will happen is you realize, you say, you helped me. You've made me aware of how I can do my job better. Thank you. Please come back next week. And they won't come back because you're taking the high road and they don't want you to take. They want you to respond in anger and bitterness and shame and guilt and, oh no, I'm a bad person. I'm not keeping up with somebody's letter of the law. They want you to be that way. Somebody needs to hear what I just said. I can feel it in my bones. I can feel it in my bones. You're fighting with people that you don't need to be fighting with, and as you fight with them, you become them. You need to not become like the devil. You need to become like who you worship. You're not perfect. Nobody is. This is not about being perfect. This is not about being some kind of self-righteous. This is about pushing you to the next level.